On the phone today, we have Melissa Aronson. All right, we're working on that. Do we have you, Erica?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, Erica, how are you doing today?
Great, thanks for having me on.
Hiding out in that, afraid to try getting on the highway, huh?
Oh, it is dumping out here, so yeah, there's no chance.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Marley is in here furiously pushing buttons and trying to figure out what's going on. And so, Erica, what's going on with you? What's going on in the field across the street from me?
Well, actually, thanks for asking, too. Well, that field that is across the street from you, which is Allen Road, mm-hmm. is what's referred to as the Henderson Field. And that was deeded to the ABEF, American Bald Eagle Foundation, I guess maybe about 10 years ago. I don't know the exact date. What's going on is that there hasn't been a lot these last few years, and that's largely been due to the weather event 3 years ago in December.
Mm-hmm.
But since that land has been recontoured, there are there is asphalt and just big, huge areas of swaths of soil that had been washed away. But that's been recontoured, and so it looks like ABEF is going to be working with a nonprofit that's going to be able to facilitate the use of that land and get it back into community ag. So that'll be happening. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that would be great. So is that going to be open to anyone that wants to go in there and work? Is it going to be similar to the Mosquito Lake thing?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not actually in charge of any of it, and the MOU hasn't yet even been signed between the nonprofit and ABEF, so that would be the first step. And then there's going to be community strategy and conversation to happen. So those decisions really, I think, are going to be coming from the community and how to utilize it. But, yeah, the goal is for it to be have community access and be focused on community agriculture projects.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly how that happens is going to require a lot of input and thought over the next few months and years, I would say.
So, you know, Melissa, we're having issues getting her phone line together, so I'm just going to go ahead and kind of talk to you.
Yeah, no, that sounds great.
Okay.
Today
we're going to be talking about the agricultural zoning, which is a process that the borough can put into place to help provide food security now and into the future. So what's going on with that?
Well, nothing.
What is ag zoning anyway? What is that?
Okay, well, what's going on is just a little bit of, beginning conversations. And so what is ag zoning? It's an agricultural land management tool that municipalities like the Hainesboro can use to encourage the preservation of farmland. It also discourages the development of lands that can be incompatible with agriculture. You know, some of these things, I'm sure people have seen this happening all over the country, but, things like housing developments
mm-hmm.
or commercial suburban sprawl, and which is actually a really big deal up in the Mat-Su Valley. There's a lot of really great, flat, excellent ag lands that have been, converted into housing developments there. So, really, it's most effective when this is implemented to protect existing and potential ag land areas,
mm-hmm.
which haven't already experienced significant development pressures.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I could see up there in the Mat-Su area, because the weather there, the summer weather there, is so conducive to growing.
Yeah.
That it, I can see where that would be an issue up there. Here we do have like the farm across the street from me, Henderson's
yeah.
Farm.
Mm-hmm.
I've been so happy to see that that has not been turned into housing developments or anything like that.
I agree. And, you know, I mean, we don't have the same issues here as in other communities, but it still is a really good idea to be planning for the future and, you know, make sure that we don't get into, you know, prevent conflict, basically, mm-hmm. by planning ahead. So, you know, and some of the things, like for ag zoning, some of the factors to take into account are things like the types of uses that are allowed on the land, a minimum lot size. You know, some of these lot size minimums had been like 160 acres, but obviously, you know, it's specific to the needs of the community. But and then also like the number of non-farm dwellings that can be allowed. It could also help to have a buffer separating farms from non-farm properties, too. So there's really, you know, a lot to discuss about how to, you know, maybe implement some of these strategies.
Mm-hmm. And this is all in the works right now. Is there like a committee or a board or something that's looking into that?
No, this is not in the works. This is just something that...
You're thinking about.
Yeah. I can get to that. But Melissa asked, you know, so how do we do this? And kind of my response is, it's like the same way you eat a moose. You do this one bite at a time. And so... Really, the first step is just talking about it, you know, letting people know, like, what actually is agriculture zoning? How do you, you know, how do you plan for this? And so, for me, you know, the first step is talking about it. And then simply creating, like, a map of the local farms, the gardens, orchards, and any other food-related industry in the Chilkat Valley. You know, and an idea that Lori Mastrella has brought to me, which I think is a really great idea, is to use this map as a beautiful brochure that could be available to locals and for tourists. And it could be the first step towards agrotourism, actually, which is really quite popular.
That was a comprehensive plan is being... worked on. Might be a good time to get something about agricultural zoning and whatnot in that plan as that's being reworked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there have been. Is it still okay? Now it's not beeping. Yeah, exactly. That's definitely a really good point and very timely
mm-hmm.
to have people's. Ideas into the comprehensive plan. So,
So some of the reasons for this food security issue that you're trying to promote, would it be increase community food security?
Yeah. So, I mean, effective ag zoning can and does. It's in other areas, it's truly encouraging locally grown food and agriculture products. So, mm-hmm. I mean, really, it would prevent the overall sustainability of the food system, both locally and, you know, potentially regionally, too. It's about food security. It also helps to prevent some of the best farmlands from, you know, potentially being sold into other uses,
mm-hmm.
you know, like maybe housing developments, and it also, you know, protects some of the best farmland, like, that has, you know, specifically really, you know, nice soil composition or, for example, south-facing slopes
right. And
really nice microclimates. And also just, like, there's financial benefits, too. It would strengthen the local economy with the investment, say, at least policy-wise, in... you know,
like creating jobs and
creating jobs and like a local investment in a new industry, which, you know, agriculture really has not been invested in our borough. So that's really, you know, that's great because that's a real opportunity for a new industry to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do we want to try getting Melissa back in here, Joni? Let's try patching Melissa in.
I'm here.
Kind of.
Okay, and what about the tax rates? Are they lower for ag land, or is it about the same as ours, regular?
Well, I mean, the tax rates are something that can be decided by the borough. So, for example, I was at the Alaska Food and Farm Conference, and there was a presentation by a person who had successfully it's called Prop 2, but they'd successfully gotten a ballot measure to lower taxes for properties that had farm structures on them. And so, you know, taxes are something that the local borough can address through zoning, too. And there is actually something in the state that if the local municipalities want to give tax benefits for ag lands or ag industry, that they would be reimbursed through the state. Hmm. Apparently, that's never happened, but it is something that's on the books. So there's a lot to look into and a lot to advocate for our local food system.
All right. So, Melissa, you want to add anything?
Well, I caught part of this, not all of it, and I think I have some bad enough connection. I'm going to thank you for stepping in for me. No, I'm not going to go off the line.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Melissa. So, how do we go about doing this? In the last, we have like a minute left.
Yeah. Okay. Well, basically, I'm just bringing this up. If anybody's interested in discussing this with me or trying to further any of these ideas, please just be in touch with me. I'm no expert.
Well, you're a
Wait, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I thought that was me. Okay, I'm really sorry. So, in any event,
it's the storm. It's the storm that's just knocking all the communications out.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Okay. Well, people can be in touch with me. My name's Eric Merklin. My phone number is 767-5586. And, this is going to take quite some time to figure out. So, there's no rush, but please be in touch with me if you're interested in any of these ideas.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Erica. You take care, okay?
Okay, Joni, you too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. That was the Garden Conversation, heard every Thursday morning here.